Daniels and his fellow workers. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 12, 1903. To Elder Daniels and his fellow workers. Dear brethren, I am home again. I thank the Lord that I am in my own room once more. A great sadness is upon me. I see that some in God's service are inclined to find fault and to work selfishly, using the Lord's goods to please and glorify self. Some do this in one way, and some in another. Some try to gather all the means that they can to invest in the work, in some place in which they are interested, forgetting that the Lord has pointed out where the means should be used. Let everyone be careful, especially in regard to the fields which God has said should be worked, but which have been neglected. When a beginning has been made in a new field, it is not to be treated as some who occupy positions of responsibility treated the work in the southern field. I am much perplexed. I expected to say some things in the meeting on Sunday morning, but I was instructed that I would better not say anything that would arouse resentment. I entreat Brother Daniels and Brother Prescott to say nothing that will drive Dr. Kellogg to desperation. He may be saved to do the work of repentance, if he is not driven into a corner. But if he is driven to desperation, we shall all have a very hard time. My brethren, I beseech you to walk humbly with God. Do not use the words that I have spoken under great perplexity and distress to hasten a crisis. Be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Understand that the Spirit of the Lord can work on minds, that God's hand is on the wheel, and that much must be left with him to work out as he will. There are so many who do not see the things that work for their good. The Lord would have every man stand in his lot and place. One man is not to step out of his place to do something that the Lord has plainly stated he has given to another man to do. To every man is given his work, and if all will attend to their individual duties, looking to Jesus and seeking counsel of him, they will be guided aright, and they will have that confidence in their brethren which they desire their brethren to have in them. But he who would uproot a man in order to carry out his own ideas is doing a work that God has not given him. The Scriptures declare, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." James 1, verse 5 to 7. This promise is ours. Let us believe it. Christ is our personal Saviour. We are not to look to men, asking them to tell us what our duty is. God is to be sought after. His promise, so definite and so full, is not a mockery. He who asks in faith and in the name of Christ will receive that for which he asks. If a brother comes to him and seeks to weaken his faith in God, he is not to accept his ideas. He has received directions from God. Let us be careful how we press our opinions upon those whom God has instructed. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Verse 5. Brother Daniels, God would not have you suppose that you can exercise a kingly power over your brethren. Lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 15. I have been interrupted many times since I began this letter, but the impression is still with me that I had when I began to write. The impression that just now we must step softly and wear the gospel shoes. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6, verse 14, 15. There must be more praying among us, and we must have increased faith. Then God will work for us when we are in difficult places. God can soften the hardest heart.
Be careful, my brethren, not to do anything rash. Under the pressure that was upon me last Sabbath, I felt that the time had come to warn our people against being taken advantage of in any way. But I was admonished that the course which I had pursued during the meeting was the right course, and that I must not say anything that would stir up confusion and strife in the conference. I was forbidden to say the things that I thought I must say on Sunday morning. Light came into my mind, and I was given a subject to present. I was instructed that I must try to lead the minds of the people away from the difficulties and perplexities around them. The Lord requires us to do all that is possible to save Dr. Kellogg. We are to seek, by revealing a conciliatory spirit, to save him from himself. Give him no occasion to wrench himself from the faith. You are not to sanction wrong. You are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But while you are to stand firm for truth and righteousness, you are to remember your own danger and walk humbly with God. There is an important work to be done in Battle Creek in the coming councils. If you can move so wisely as to save Dr. Kellogg and yet not sacrifice one principle of truth, if you can pass through this crisis without the loss of one soul, it will be because the Lord has worked with minds. A great and wonderful victory will be gained because the Lord has been accepted as the guide and leader of his people. I am drawn out to call upon our people to make every effort to save souls. We need increased faith. The hearts of our church members should be drawn out in prayer for those who are preaching the gospel. And ministers must take time to pray for themselves and for the people of God whom they are appointed to serve. We are lamentably deficient in faith. We need a firmer belief in the words, "As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Isaiah 55, verse 10, 11. We must pray more earnestly than we have done in the past for the deep moving of the Holy Spirit. We must not depend upon money as our means of success. All the riches in the world could not save one soul. But we can, through the Holy Spirit's power, draw near to souls and lead them to look away from the things of earth to the things of heaven, to lift their eyes to Christ. We must consecrate all the powers of our being to the work of rescuing those whom Satan is seeking to draw to destruction. And in this work, Christ is to be exalted as all and in all. Prayer is acceptable to God only when offered in humility and contrition and in the name of Christ. He who hears and answers prayer knows those who pray in humbleness of heart. The true Christian asks for nothing except in the name of Christ, and he expects nothing except through his mediation. He desires that Christ shall have the glory of presenting his prayers to the Father, and he is willing to receive the blessing from God through Christ. The Spirit of God has much to do with acceptable prayer. He softens the heart. He enlightens the mind, enabling it to discern its own wants. He quickens our desires, causing us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. He intercedes in behalf of the sincere suppliant. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the same according to the will of God. Romans 8, verse 26-27. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. The human being must draw nigh to God, realizing that he must have the help that God alone can give. It is the glory of God to be known as the hearer of prayer, because the human suppliant believes that he will hear and answer. Christ declares, "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Matthew 21, verse 22. Paul's language is explicit and encouraging. Be careful for nothing, that is, do not worry or fret, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, verse 6. The prayer of faith is the key that unlocks the treasury of heaven. As we commit our souls to God, let us remember that He holds Himself responsible to hear and answer our supplications. He invites us to come to Him, and He bestows on us His best and choicest gifts, gifts that will supply our great need. He loves to help us. Let us trust in His wisdom and His power. Oh, what faith we should have! Oh, what peace and comfort we should enjoy! Open your heart to the Spirit of God. Then the Lord will work through you and bless your labors.